Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's Reaction Monday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. After the Texans fall to the Denver Broncos 18-15, it's a last second game-winning field goal for the Broncos, a game-winning drive, in fact, that looked very, it felt very familiar to the Texans as week two, Tampa Bay Bucks, Baker Mayfield did it to you. And weirdly enough,
it looked the same.
Yeah, I mean, you had Henry Toto there looking back towards the backfield and yet somehow being in an oddly ill-placed position for Bo Nix to be able to step up and pick up that first down. That was frustrating. C.J. Stroud lost early on in this game. In fact, D'Amico Ryan spoke about that when he talked to the media here recently. You heard that here just a little while ago. He said that C.J. Stroud in the concussion protocol. He did say that he had talked to C.J. last night and that he was feeling better for whatever that's worth.
Feeling a little bit better. See how the week goes.
But you acknowledged it. You said it earlier, and we didn't go through all five. But it is a layered process to return from a concussion in the NFL.
There's five steps, and we don't necessarily have to list them. I mean, I have them, but it's basically what you can do early in the week, responding to things, workouts with the team, and then practice and all that. But every step of the way, after every step, you have to be cleared by a doctor. And I'm not sure if that's a team doctor or an NFL doctor.
Well, actually, you say you don't want to go through it. I want to go through it real quick because what's worth noting is that the five steps are is you have to be able to do symptom-limited activity, right? So you need to be able to do activity without symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. You need to be able to do aerobic exercise, which obviously is a certain level of exercise that's high. Then you need to be able to do football-specific exercise, club-based non-contact training. So you need to be able to get through that. And the reason why I wanted to get through this is the fifth one, which is the most important. You need to then be able to go through full football activity and clearance, which means he would need to get through the protocol by Thursday, right?
Wednesday at the earliest.
I was like, could he get through the protocol? Like, again, he would have to be a modern
miracle.
Thursday at
the latest, I'll put it that way. Yeah.
There isn't football activity on Friday, is there?
There's walkthrough.
Does that count?
I don't think so.
Maybe it does, but I can't imagine if we're being thorough, which sometimes that's been questioned with the NFL, that football activity being a walkthrough trying to come back from a concussion would count. So I feel like it would have to be
Matt Thursday.
Which leans me even further to the idea that you might have Davis Mills starting on Sunday as you welcome in the Jacksonville
Jaguars. And I keep going back to this. You're right. And every step of the way you have to have medical clearance. In other words, you do it. An NFL doctor or team doctor says, yes, he's good to go, and then you go to the next step and so on. So there's that. I keep going back to, we all know how big every game is right now. This is a division game with a team that is 5-3. You just heard him, and then that's what hit me the strongest in terms of D'Amico's comments, is like, we have to do things differently. We have to game plan better.
Yeah.
And you have a quarterback that doesn't get those reps. Now, maybe they can be in the meetings. I don't know how that's going to play out, but it's certainly not going to get the reps on the field for that specific game plan with those specific plays, and then you play on Sunday. That's where I am. I think Davis Mills is going to get the majority of those, and that means he might be out another week.
I'm less worried if you were able to, again, miraculously get C.J. Stroud through the protocol and ready to play for Sunday versus the Jacksons.
Less worried about that?
Because you've played the Jags before, right?
Sure.
I would hope the game plan is different, but I imagine that there's some things that would carry over to where C.J. Stroud, who is starting to feel like, or at least to me on the outside, starting to feel like he has a better grasp on what this offense is, whatever that is, for whatever that's worth, that he would be able to step in without like the fullness of the week. Now, when you talk about injuries, one of the bigger ones is the Titus Howard one, who is also in the concussion protocol. And I imagine the same questions and concerns I have. That one gets bigger because his understudy being Blake Fisher takes away jumbo packages we were talking about, which is a thing.
And he's starting at right tackle.
And then he's starting at right tackle, which at least I know two thirds of the show not super excited about.
Mm-hmm.
But I teased this, and I do want to get to this, because in listening to D'Amico Ryans, there was something, a light bulb that clicked on.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been big on the here's the Patriot way. Like, here's the things that they are clearly modeling
right.
from a lot of the staff's tenure there in New England. And I think that there's one thing that's clearly missing, and I don't know why it took me so long to get here, but there's one thing that's clearly missing if indeed you're trying to go with the next man up, every man just do your job, you know, mentality.
How the Patriots do
that
things.
The Patriots did things, especially under Bill Belichick as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they were supremely not loyal, supremely not loyal to less than stellar, subpar play.
They didn't let loyalty get in the way.
Without question.
They didn't let loyalty get it. I think that's a great point by
like,
you.
Like, Bill Belichick.
And I'm kind of angry at myself for not thinking of it.
We used to make jokes, me and my friends, when somebody fumbled the football, like a running back fumble for the Patriots. Like, oh, he about to get cut.
Yeah.
Like, not only is he going to get benched, like, he will get cut. Bill Belichick was good for that.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick was very good for, if you do something that is well outside of the bounds of what we expect from you on this football field, you are out of here. Mm-hmm. They had no time to suffer substandard performance. And I think that if you are going to be the coach that time and time again steps out and goes, you know what? We just need to be better. We need to go and win these one-on-one blocks. We need to, you know, just go if we're on the goal line, which I think I agree with in a general sense of football. If you're on the goal line and you can't find it within you to muscle up, then the car crash sport might not be the one for you necessarily,
yes.
right? Like, I understand that. However, the other side of that coin, you know, the other foot or the shoe that drops on that is, and if you cannot, then what happens? Like, where is the – and it feels like if you cannot, well, we're just going to keep running out there. And
yes.
we'll eventually hope that we get it together. And that doesn't fit. I feel like this needs to be an all or nothing proposition if this is the mentality that you take. Not that I think it was a particularly great one. I didn't love the human aspect of what Bill Belichick did. It was brutal. It felt sick. It felt like you kept players on edge.
Yeah.
Numbers of players have gone through that Patriot system and come out and said that if it wasn't for the winning, they absolutely despised playing there. It was not a fun environment, and not even that fun is the metric, but you go to work and you're dreading. You have anxiety going in. But as much as we could say that, it worked. And right now, not having results, that's the thing that's the most egregious thing right now.
Not only are they not, you know, sort of, you know, they're doing things, a lot of things. I'm going to be fair to them because they don't think it's all one thing. But they're doing a lot of things like the Patriots did things. But what you just said is something they not only are not doing, but they go to the extreme going the other direction. Like, their loyalty is almost to a fault. And I'm specifically, thinking of Cole Popovich and Jake Andrews at center. Well, he coached him at Troy, and he's a tough guy, and he's sort of, you know, the hard-nosed and works real hard and all that stuff. Lakin Tomlinson, you know, another guy that is
Lakin Tomlinson might be the poster boy of this. And I again, every time I say this, I feel so bad because we had a delight chatting with Lakin Tomlinson in training camp. He was pretty substandard early on in the season. He's had somewhat better play, but all of this is relative, you know. And again, if you're taking this to that Patriot way, Lakin Tomlinson would have been
gone. Jake Andrews, gone.
Hell, we don't even have to keep it within the season. Like, we can go back to the thing that clearly frustrated us the most, going back to the general manager. Substandard offensive line play, they would have made sure that we have better offensive linemen and a different opportunity to go out and put up a good product.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like they were just like, it's fine. By and large, you know, bring in some bodies and it'll all be all right. And clearly the competition will get us right. And it clearly didn't get you nearly far enough.
No, they are going well beyond, you know, and again, it felt brutal. As I mentioned, the Patriots, if you didn't do your job, see ya. They're going well beyond that here. And I think that's a really good point by you, that it's not just, you know, loyalty. Stick with them and they'll get better. That's not the way they usually have done things in New England, and they're certainly going the other direction here.
Right. And I mean, the very evident places is like, you see a Jalen Noel. In fact, a very good question asked of D'Amico when it comes to, like, what clearly we know that he's willing to allow, you know, his young guys to come in and make an impact. We talked about last year to great degree, Kamari Lassiter getting in as a rookie at outside corner, and then Kalen Bullock as a rookie getting in at safety and having very big, important roles on an importantly very good defense, right? And now you have this year, you know, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll. Higgins a little bit more so than Knoll, I think, getting opportunity on the offense. But what is the difference there? And D'Amico's answer was basically that those are four completely different guys. I found it interesting, and now maybe I'm just picking nits, right, when I get to parsing the actual language. Because, you know, he said that those are four different guys. He didn't say they're four different circumstances, right? He didn't talk about necessarily, well, there are veterans here that we trust more. Whatever. Not necessarily that he would even be saying that, but it didn't feel like that was what he was intimating. He said those are four different guys.
He said it's not apples to apples.
How do you hear that?
Well, I think it was because then at the end he made sure to credit them. You know, they're doing everything we ask them to do.
But clearly not, you know, not necessarily, right?
They're like, growing, they're developing. But yeah, but when you see what we've seen on the field a year ago, and to be fair, both those guys started from day one. You know, Lassiter and Bullock. They were on the field from day one. So there is that difference. But nevertheless, when we see what we're seeing on the field from Jalen Knoll, at minimum, it means you should get more than 11 snaps. I'm not saying he should just like take over for Christian Kirk. Obviously, Kirk deserves some, you know, some credit and some grace there because of what he's been as an NFL player. But 41 plays to 11?
Yeah. If nothing else, again, the loyalty needs to be to production.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this Texans team, I think, if you can manage to squeeze some things out, the loyalty needs to be to production. Harshly so. And I think that that goes in a lot of different places. Obviously, the first one that you go to is Jalen Knoll. The loyalty needs to be production. I think that some people will get to running back as well, seeing Dari Ogunbowale out there. Loyalty needs to be to production. But I think also, like, even in the game planning, I think the loyalty needs to be to what is this purely pragmatic, like, because your back is against the wall at this point, right?
Yes.
I know that D'Amico Ryans was like, every game mattered in 3-5, and I think that that's the mentality that you have to take there. Does anybody believe that playoffs is still anything within the realm of possibility? Like, I almost feel silly. I have around the AFC South locked and loaded for today's show. And John Lopez, I'm going to be entirely honest. I'm going to pull the curtain back. I have no idea if I should bring it out because I feel silly talking about, well, let's look at what's happening around the AFC South and see what you're not contending with these teams right now.
Not right now. I mean, I do think, you know, there is a distant possibility. But right now, it's a distant possibility, and obviously the Jacksonville game has becomes that much more, in mind. But he talked about that we can't talk playoffs right now. He said it doesn't change the mindset being 3-5. Every game is on the line. I think it does change the mindset. I think it absolutely changes the mindset with personnel, with what I mentioned, in the last segment, how you're calling play. Because he keeps saying we got to do something different. Got to do something different. And you got to do something different. You've got, you know, there is no more time. There is no more time to kind of have that loyalty to the staff. And that's what this is as well. We talk about the loyalty with players, the loyalty with Nick Caley, you know, like, he's our guy. You know, we brought him in, you know, and I'm not going to mention, you know, that university or anything, but anyway.
You made a university a bad word. You managed to make a university. That's crazy.
But they're almost like, hey, you can't be loyal to Nick Caley at this point, at least in the red zone. I mean, mix things up, you know, how you're game planning, the plays you're putting in, et cetera.
Yeah, the frustrating thing, though, is I hear you on, like, because basically what you're talking about is you move it around. Somebody else call these players. Somebody else, like, have more priority or preeminence.
This is our package, that kind of thing.
The thing that I just keep looking at with this, I can't imagine that with all them dudes, when they are going through game planning, that they all just sit quietly and there's no way it's not collaborative. In fact, that was one of the things that it seemed like with Nick Caley, we were being told, right, is the idea is he seems so much more collaborative. He wants other people's opinions. So I'm going to take them at the words. This is then the offense of all of those people in those room, in that room, rather, bringing in their opinions. And right now it's still substandard.
I think it is very collaborative. I think having that many guys with, you know, with pedigree, and Nick Caley would be dumb not to be collaborating. But one guy ultimately says, this is what we're running in these situations. Maybe that changes, you know, is what I'm saying. Because, you know, you get all this information, all these suggestions, all these plays, all these sets, all the packages and all that. But Nick Caley's ultimately, you know, pulling the trigger on those. I'm saying maybe that changes.
Can you give me Dalton Schultz here? Dalton Schultz after the game. One of the things I like about Dalton Schultz is he's pretty open with you. I think he gives pretty good answers as well. The only thing that'll annoy me a little bit about Dalton Schultz is he will throw dude in there every single time that he speaks. But this is a cut one from Dalton Schultz, because fixing this offense is ultimately priority number one. The defense shows up, even the special team showed up in this game. Offense is priority number one if this team wants to find a way to get anywhere near salvaging where the season's supposed to be. What were some things that made it hard, Dalton, to execute in this game?
Dude, just execution. Credit to them, dude. They played lights out, like especially down there. Like we had the ball at the one. We ran it four times. One was a false start, but I mean we couldn't get a yard. So, you know, they came to play in those situations, and we just weren't able to execute.
Look, I obviously he's right about that, and there were, you know, the other thing about this, and you mentioned this earlier. You know, it wasn't just the physical aspect down in the red zone. Like, they didn't have a lot of penalties, but boy, the penalties they had were just brutal.
It feels like we come back to the it's always something, right?
Yes.
Like that is the nature of this team. It's always something.
Even pressure's ramped up, big time situation, and you get the penalty.
Yeah, I mean, that's just,
yeah.
As much as I'm looking around the league, I mean, you see games all the way around the league. That was, again, part of the around the AFC South is that you have the Indianapolis Colts losing, right, for the first time. And even the teams that are at the very top of this, they get it. I mean, that was this weekend in NFL mm-hmm. football. There was a number of, hey, wait, they're losing? That did not feel like something right. that I had expected. I thought that they were a good team, and then here they are losing to a team that feels like it's beneath them.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that being the case, the Texans are in a different level of when they need a play, that play is not being made, which if any, like, it might not be as fair. You could tell me whether it's not, right? Whether it is or whether it's not. The fact that this team, in the moments where you need a play, more often than not doesn't, is the thing that I need to know on whether it's a good or bad team, right? Like mm-hmm. the execution, being able to, you know, move on the line, all right, whatever. The fact that in the biggest moments, and sadly enough, that even shows up a little bit on defense
mm-hmm.
Compared to last year where, I mean, and I'm trying to remember which game this was. There was a particular play where there's a big play. Kalen Bullock is, you know, is busted, but he hauls ass backwards, stops, you know, goes ahead and gets a tackle, stops a touchdown. They ultimately have a goal line stand last year, right? Those are the plays that winning teams make.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like this year the plays that are made in those big moments are a penalty on fourth and goal where you finally are actually able to possibly get in, but you're backed up.
I think you're right.
Or, you know, Henry Toe went mm-hmm. on in two different occasions where the quarterback is the, you know, you need to make sure that you keep him corralled mm-hmm. and you don't. And the quarterback is able to go and make a play that ultimately leads to get. Those are the big time plays that this team makes, and that's one of the most frustrating. I don't even know how you coach that necessarily, or how, but it feels like it's very telling.
No, you're right on both points, but it's clearly it happens so much more on offense, which is a reflection of maybe some game planning, maybe some preparation, but really those moments when you're supposed to be making plays. I mean, we just heard D'Amico Ryan say it about the red zone when he was asked. It's a lot of what ifs, you know, those what ifs. Or going the other direction, that's a reflection of the players on the field.
I mean, it's a reflection of the whole thing.
Of the whole thing.
Like it's the
yeah.
And the problem with, I get where he was coming from on the everybody got their what ifs. Yeah. The reason why we got what ifs is because there aren't no, well, there it is.
Right? Yeah,
there's
right.
no like, oh, well, there's the spark. Let's follow that. Let's follow
yeah.
that lead
yeah.
to find success. It's a whole bunch of I don't know, so all we have is what ifs.
Right.
Which, again, another indictment of what this team is right now after a really crushing loss versus the Denver Broncos on a Sunday, 18-15. Texas 3-5 and looking for answers mm-hmm. in various different ways. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, two-part confession again today. The first one is I think Reggie needs to say to me, thank you.
For what?
He needs to say thank you.
Unbelievable.
The second part of the confession will explain it. Figgy, I easily could have made Reggie make a bet. He actually said, I'm willing to bet on it yesterday in the press box.
Mm. Oh,
what was this?
Yeah.
Something he's never, ever, he's not. He's anti-gambling, Well, you just don't gamble.
Oh, yeah, I was like, yeah. I don't have judgment for other people. I just don't do it myself.
Like when I place a wager or two, you're not passing judgment. Maybe you are, but you're not really passing judgment. But you just don't do it.
Correct.
So C.J. Stroud went down yesterday, and I immediately said, he ain't coming back in this game. Reggie was adamant.
Really?
Yeah. Adamant. I don't know, man. Or you explain what you were saying.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit before, yeah. But I know the quarterbacks end up being they are handled differently by the National Football League, particularly when it comes to head injuries. Should they be? No, right? If we're going to handle this on a level playing in a way that actually considers the player health. However, historically, quarterbacks have been getting a little bit more leeway to get back out there because everybody knows where the bread is buttered. Having good quarterback play matters. And so I thought that, you know, C.J. Stroud, they would try and get him back out there, especially with the understanding that you still had a full halftime, right? If that had happened the second half, I'd have had a lot less bravado.
But
there.
he was, and I was like, as soon as I saw him hit his head and his hand kind of did that one thing, I was like, he ain't coming back in this game.
Yeah, I was looking at it like, hey, it's all of the second quarter and halftime. They're gonna find a way to get him back out there.
To the point at one point, he goes, I'm willing to bet on it.
That's right.
And I went, I was this close to like, all right, let's. Ain't no way.
So what was the point where you was like, man, nah, I think it's a chance he might. Was it when he popped up?
No,
was
what he just said. He also did the thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, he walked.
Was
off
that
some
the part
it,
where
but,
you was like, I think it's a chance. Mm-hmm. I'm not ruling them all the way out.
No, I mean for sure, right? The idea that he walked off, but then, like I said, just I also know
he's seeing it how it went down. I was just like, man,
I was too.
Yeah,
I was too.
Hey, I'm not saying never, but I wasn't betting on that. Yeah, him coming back.
And when Reggie said that, I went, I could take a couple of bucks right now if I wanted, but you could. I didn't. So you need to say.
Say thank you,
say
OG.
It. I could have gotten into your pocket.
Say thank you, OG.
Lopez. Thank you, Lopez. I hate how perfectly you set that up. I hate it so much. All right, I gotta confess. I was thoroughly enamored with this World Series start to finish, and it's stuck with me to the point where shout out to John Lopez and his shirt. What'd that say, the Figgy?
Let's go, Dodgers!
This is a great gift.
That is excellent. It's a fantastic gift. That
it even has, show the camera again.
It even has my name on
Figgy
it.
Figgy got John Lopez. Let's go, Dodgers!
Let's go, Dodgers!
Because his boys, the Dodgers, won the World Series
it
in comeback
wasn't
fashion.
My team.
Your
you
boys.
Know the story.
And the World Series MVP, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Ooh. Ooh. I have been thinking about this, and I gotta confess, I'm thinking he might have put up the best World Series performance at least since since the turn of the century. Mm-hmm. The only problem is I'm looking between him. Do you remember 2014 Madison Bumgarner?
Yeah, Bumgarner, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the one that's like widely held up. I mean, 22 innings pitched. He pitched in the games one,
I think
four,
five innings in game seven?
Yeah, and then five innings in relief with the save to win for the Giants there versus the Royals. The thing that's tough is you look at a lot of metrics and it's Madison Bumgarner, but the thing that I keep thinking about is that Royals team was not that good on offense. Yeah. This Blue Jays team was incredible, and yet Yamamoto had a 1.02 ERA versus Madison Bumgarner's, get this, 0.43 ERA.
Yeah, but that you're right. That's when numbers kind of lie a little bit.
Because I'm like, this team is crazy. For Yamamoto to have been that good and to pitch in Game 7 in relief, 2 2/3 innings, on no rest, I was like, "Yo, this I might be reactionary, but this might be the best pitching performance that I've ever seen in the World Series."
I don't think you are. I think it's right up there. And by the way, our Bite Me podcast group text, you know, also hates the Dodgers like I do in a general sense.
Nah, man, you
that's
got
not
the
what the shirt says.
That's not what I got a shirt that says otherwise.
Let's go Dodgers!
But they were giving me a hard time too because I like Ohtani, and so they were giving me a hard time too. And I finally texted him. I was like, no matter how we fall on this, Yamamoto is a bad dude.
Yeah, the only folks to celebrate, obviously, thanks to Toronto and the Blue Jays for giving us a good effort. Thanks to Japan. Thanks to Japan for giving us good on the other side.
Yeah,
Japan won that one, man.
L.A., whatever.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to confess, man, I felt like a jerk on Halloween a little bit because, so this is my second Halloween in my new house, one year officially, but second Halloween.
Right.
And this year, I'm like, man, I'm like, ain't no kids around here going to knock on the door or nothing like that. So I ain't going to get no candy. I ain't going to waste no time. And plus, my wife was gone, too. She was somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I was at the house doing my podcast, which I do every Friday night. And all of a sudden, I get a notification, the ring notification. Yeah. And my dog going nuts. He, I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, who is at the door at this time? It was like five kids dressed up in Halloween costumes.
Yeah, trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, but my thing is, I'm like, I ain't had no lights on. It'd be one thing if I left a light on. So I'm like, do these kids not know the rules to get in, going to a house?
They didn't care.
They sure didn't. I seen one was dressed like a, what's the little minion?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, nice. Yeah. It's funny because when you look at the video on the ring camera, you just see a
minion.
You see a princess. You see Spider-Man, whoever the little man was. It was about five of them all dressed up, just sitting there waiting and looking. I'm just like, man.
And then you start feeling guilty.
That's what I'm saying. I felt guilty. I'm like, man, you know what? I'm going to mark it down today. Well, I marked it down that day. I'm going to pass out some candy.
You should.
Yeah. I just think I don't really see kids around there. Maybe they not from around there or something, but.
Doesn't matter.
They just, I didn't go to the door because I was in the middle of the podcast. Well, I just saw them run across the grass and they were just having a good time.
Good for them. Dang, man. That's when you start looking around the house because I feel guilty. I'm like, well, what can I give? I got a sandwich in the refrigerator.
Yeah, no, don't even part down with that, man. We talked about this before. Don't give them no raisins.
No, I didn't want to give them
pencils and all that stuff.
I got some granola. I got some.
Yeah.
All right. So we got some mints. There you go. There. Who wants some olive oil? I got some olive oil.
Olive oil.
There you go.
Yeah. How much is a dollar worth in 2025 at this point?
A dollar. You just go ahead and start handing out ones.
They go a dollar.
It's a dollar.
Yeah. Like, man, oh,
hey,
man,
they take it.
What can we do with this dollar?
They can't even go to the store and get them a Snickers bar.
Can't.
That's crazy, man. A dollar used to go a long way, man.
Yes, dollar, you could go to the store, corner store, get you some chips, a drink, and have a little change left over.
You used to get four items. You used to get a soda, a bag of chips or two, some candy, and a honey, but all that stuff for a dollar, man.
We sound old. That's crazy.
I know.
Y'all are warming my heart because that sounds like something I'd be saying.
Yeah. So I'm like,
back
man,
in my day.
Yeah. So I couldn't even pass out a dollar. Give them a dollar or something.
You'd have to give out fives. Yeah, fives for everybody.
Well, then that gets costly.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know what would have been less costly? Getting you a bag of candy.
Some candy.
Yep.
Although candy was expensive this year.
Was it?
It was a chocolate tax, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It was a chocolate tax.
Dang.
Good enough.
Somebody said Lopez passing out a cup of OG. Not even the whole bottle?
Just a cup. Here, open your mouth.
Here's the sandwich.
Here, open your mouth.
Dry the boat.
They get back to their house, they have stains all over their
just waterfall and barbecue sauce. That's
dry
insane.
The boat.
Sometimes, and it's an old saying. Well, it's not an old saying. It's a saying that people use a lot. This made me smile. This made me smile.
Of course, you're also famous with the Colts playoffs.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my first year with the Colts, we were 3-13. Peyton Manning was a rookie, played all of our games. The next year, we were 13-3. We 3-13 to 13-3. So that was a big deal, too, when we were able to do that. Yeah.
Jim, can you give us one playoffs?
You want it really?
Yes.
It doesn't bother me when I have to do it. Playoffs? Are you kidding me? Playoffs? We're just trying to win a game. There you go. I wouldn't do that for anybody else.
Jim Mora on his 90th birthday?
Goodness gracious.
90th birthday.
He don't look 90 at all,
He
man.
Doesn't look close to 90.
In the good way, right?
In a very good way. Very good
He looked like he's probably about 65.
He looks like he could coach.
Yeah.
And
what are you trying to say right now?
Kenny Copeland. No. But
Jim Moore was an offensive guy, right?
Yeah. But nailed it, too. He said it exactly like he did back
D'Amico
in the day.
D'Amico Ryan's pretty much quoted him a little bit at the end of that press conference.
But he quoted himself like to perfection. I'm just trying to win a game.
Yeah.
Sound exactly the same,
yes,
too.
Very much feel that right now. So there you go. Those are your lunchtime confessions. Oh, man.
Open your mouth. I'll pour a little OG sauce in there.
No. Don't ever say that again. Some people are also enjoying on the text line these moments of Figgy veering into being an old man. Because that with you at the door, just, you know, the dollar don't go a long way.
Yeah, I ain't want to be that person, because I got to the point where my grandfather, rest in peace, he would try to give me some money. I'm like, man, I can't do nothing with this.
Somebody called you Fogey Fig.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to winners and losers of the weekend. After a weekend of wild stuff, both in college, NFL, and all everywhere else. Who are the winners? Who are the losers of the weekend? 713-572-4610. We'll do that next. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's do a little winners and losers of the weekend. 713-572-4610. Let's know if you had any winners or losers on the weekend, and we'll get through those. Let's start with the Rockets, who were winners on the weekend in a literal sense. One on Saturday night versus the Boston Celtics in Boston. Now, of course, a Boston team that it's a little different than the Celtics of the last few years, because obviously Jason Tatum out for a majority of the year, if not all of it, dealing with that Achilles injury that he had. But the Rockets routed the Celtics on Saturday. I mean, you had depth in there for, I think, pretty much all of the fourth quarter of this game.
It was over so early.
But the reason why I put them as winners is not just because they got a victory. That number one defense or offensive rating is going to stay very, very comfortably in Houston for a little bit, because it was a true shooting bonanza.
What do they like game. To say? It's a make or miss league. That was a make game.
Very, very much make. I mean, this was a Rockets team that shot unreasonably well from three. That might not even be right to say it that way, but that's what it felt like. They shot so well from three that it felt unfair how well they were shooting. They were they shot 65.5% from three. 19 of 29.
Hey, it's a make or miss league. It's a make or miss league. That's what I mean, it was, I didn't even stay for it, you know, because I just watched, I think the first half, and like, oh, this is one of those nights. And obviously, as that's going to happen when you're shooting 65% from three, like a lot of guys taking part even early, you know, like Okogie and, all these guys were taking part and having some fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, another game in which you have seven players in double digits. Reed Sheppard knocking down four or five was a really nice addition in his 17 minutes of play. But, I mean, the three-point party went for everyone. Amen knocked down a three-pointer himself. Alperen, Jabari, yep. Josh Okogie, I've been impressed with him. I liked him quite a bit going back to when he was in Minnesota. I thought that he was a nice kind of defense player. I'm not sure if I knew to expect this.
Yeah.
He's been really good from three, which has been nice, but he's been even as dogged as I expected defensively while adding more on offense.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Rockets, looking great shooting the basketball and having a pretty solid defensive game there. But, I mean, they just absolutely blew out the Celtics.
And they go tonight.
Yes, they go tonight. They welcome in the Mavericks here at Toyota Center, 7 p.m. tonight. Obviously, you can get that where you know you can get that at Space City Home Network if you would like to watch it. How about another winner? Again, in a very literal sense, Mauricio Dubon. Mauricio Dubon earned his second Rollins Golden Glove this weekend. He's a utility player. So, unfortunately, that means that your other Gold Glove candidate did not come through with it in Cam Smith, but there you go. And Astro still with the Golden Glove defensively.
That was the one we expected, right? I talked about it. I know when the candidates or whatever were announced, to me it was a no brainer that Dubon was going to win it. I mean, he was outstanding everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's he continues to be exactly what you expect of him doing that, and it was nice for him to get that. Real quick, though, before we move, because there's an Astros tie there. Happy 13th year anniversary to the return of the Orange and the H. It was on this day in 2012 that the Astros returned to, you know, that circle logo with the star and the H, and obviously bringing back that orange and vibrant blue compared to where they had previously been in the brand identity. So it's a what a good time to get back to this identity.
Everything seems like it's been fewer years than it's been. But yeah, 13 years and not the full on rainbows, but certainly the logo.
Yeah, I think a fair enough winner from the 972 here. Seattle. Seattle's a winner because they are seemingly very justified in a couple of decisions that they made. One, hiring Mike McDonald looks incredible. He's had that team humming.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more importantly, maybe not more importantly, but definitely shows up very evidently. Sam Darnold was incredible in this game. And that was a decision they made, the decision to I guess they wanted to pay Geno Smith. Geno didn't want what they were looking for. Geno asked for a trade. There was some level. So they trade Geno Smith and they go sign Sam Darnold. I did not anticipate this working nearly as well as it has.
I don't think anybody did. Even I say truthers, but even people that were kind of, you know, in with the way Sam Darnold had been playing, they couldn't have been expecting this.
I can't imagine so. I cannot imagine so that was the case. Now here, this is a loser of sorts on the weekend. Rico Dowdle, running back for the Carolina Panthers, although they are a winner.
How about that?
They get a big victory at Lambeau Field versus the Green Bay Packers.
They're five and three, aren't they?
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers?
No, Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You said the Carolina Panthers have a above 500 record.
They are
better than the Houston Texans right now, record-wise.
My brain does not compute that. I don't understand what you're saying. I need you to rephrase that differently.
Five and four is what they haven't had their bye week yet. Yeah.
I still don't understand what you're saying.
So Bryce Young was the right pick then, huh?
Oh, all right. God. Okay. Oh, calm down. But Rico Dowdle scores two touchdowns in this 16-13 victory over the Green Bay Packers. The second of which, he breaks through the line. I think the first time he just kind of did something simple. Maybe he wasn't ready to score a touchdown. Second time he was ready. Breaks through the line, gets into the end zone, spins the football, turns around, puts his hands on his head, and he proceeds at the behest of a lot of his teammates that had come around him to start doing some hip thrusts, some pumps. One, two, you can hear his teammates, oh, only two. As he hits that second one, flag up. Flag on the play. That flag. And if you.
What's that from, I wonder?
Yeah, that obviously, if you remember Key and Peele, they had a whole sketch about.
Counting them.
But three pumps and you get a penalty. This is Rico Dowdle actually talking about getting that penalty.
Celebration, you're supposed to get two pumps, right?
Yeah, from my understanding and everything I've learned, we go over stuff like this every week in the meeting room. I definitely think you're supposed to get two pumps. Hopefully, I don't get a fine.
So good. But he's the winner for sure.
The thing that I don't get, though, is like the idea of, hey, you're supposed to get two pumps. Are we referencing a comedy skit? When yes. The NFL's like,
absolutely.
The NFL's got to be looking at him like, we never said, that's not in the rules. Nobody said that you get two
when
pumps.
When you celebrate, you only get two.
Now they're sending out memos and stuff. Wait, is this right? Is this right?
By the way, Keegan-Michael Key, who was one of the masterminds of Key and Peele, he actually posted a video seemingly apologizing to Rico Dowdle for this particular miscommunication.
Rico, man, you got robbed. You only did two pumps. I'm sorry, man. Now we're going to have to write a new sketch.
God, I love this so much because I'm just a big fan of Key and Peele anyway. But
I think a lot of people love that sketch in particular because I will salute the NFL in some ways in the ways that they have lightened up. It wasn't that long ago that we were looking at the NFL like, why do y'all hate fun so damn much?
That would have been a penalty.
It still was.
We can't
give it too much credit. It still was.
It would have been like egregious. They would have had.
You had Joe Buck on the call like, think of the children.
He would have been fined on the spot.
Yes.
Yeah, but he got out there in a celebration. He thought that he was good. He thought that he had read the literature.
I only did two.
Only did two pumps. Nope, that'll get you. That'll get you as well. Yeah, did you have any winners or actually one of the losers on the weekend? I hate to say it this way.
Mm-hmm.
The University of Houston Cougar football team.
Where did that come from?
I mean, West Virginia is not a good football team. Figgy, I know that you were in the building and you sent a text to the group chat.
Yeah, I checked their rec. I'm like, yo, are they good? Are they supposed to be good? Because they out here looking smooth.
And it didn't even look like that much of a fluke. Like, they were running the ball.
Dude, they had like over 100 yards of rushing in the first quarter.
Right.
It was like 4 minutes left in the first quarter.
And I've mentioned this to you guys. I mentioned it in the text exchange. when I'm watching this game, and I am a big fan of Connor Wegman, it just, he's one of those guys that is good for a game like this, or a game or two like this, every so often.
So let me fully explain what happened. It's the Houston Cougars, first time ranked this season, ranked number 22. And they lost, not only lost to a then 2-6 West Virginia Mountaineers team, a team that was entirely, they had winless, rather, is the word that I was looking for, in the Big 12 to that point. Mountaineers were bad on offense, defense, like just bad all the way around. The Cougars are supposed to be a defensive power of sorts. And West Virginia scored 45 points to the Cougars 35. I thought that even still that this was a game that maybe they made more difficult and they ultimately win. Nope. The Cougars lose that. Connor Wegman at one point looks to just try and heave the ball, and he loses it on the backswing of sort. Like, it was just a really, really bad showing.
He threw an 80-yard pick six.
Yeah.
And missed some guy. Like, I've always liked him, and I talked about it before the season even began. He just has, like, a couple of moments a year where you're like, ooh. Like, good. Ooh, where'd that come from?
Yeah, and you know? The weird thing is, I hate to say it, wasn't a lot of people at the game, and I imagine that was because people thought it wouldn't be a close and competitive game, and boy, it went the entire opposite way. This was the first home loss while ranked that the Cougars had, I think, at least since the 80s, at the very, very least, since the 80s. This is just something that was unheard of, and now brings the Cougars to 7-2, 4-2 in the Big 12, and I think that'll pretty much do it for them when it comes to Big 12 championship aspirations, unfortunately. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here on a Reaction Monday where we're continuing to react to an 18-15 loss for the Texans. Let's get some passing thoughts from the OG next on that game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.